Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. It's the weekend. Beautiful weekend, in fact, coming up. Stock up. Water, soda, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, as we both know, is second to none, without question. That's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Good afternoon, my friend. Good to have you on board.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing great. Got a lot going on today, as a matter of fact. A lot going on. We have today Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. We're going to have Corey Geiger from Big Ten Media Day. Ryan Snyder, Blue White Illustrated, is going to join us. And James Franklin's press conference taking place earlier today in Chicago. So we have a lot going on the show today.
Busy Friday.
Well, get everybody, you know, into the swing of the weekend with a lot going on. So, yeah. Plenty going on the show today.
You might not even have time for a pickle from the pickle bar.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I don't know if we will or not. Meanwhile, yesterday was Kevin's birthday. And, yeah. You know, did you wish him happy birthday?
I did.
Yeah. Studio audience joined in. Okay, sad.
Yeah. I think I hear crickets.
Well, we said that that we would, on the after show, have people wish him happy birthday. And I did, don't know. Sad. Today, James Franklin met with the media to talk about a wide variety of things. We have a lot to deal with and talk about with that and other elements coming up in today's show. It's action-packed. It's full. It's the way it should be, especially on a Friday heading into the weekend. We've taken what I would think, for the most part, on the schedule is a nothing weekend, and we've turned it into a lot going on. So let's, we'll get things rolling here with, our good friend Tony DeFazio and, from the Pittsburgh Sports Report. Then it'll be James Franklin next half hour. Then we'll have Corey Geiger from Chicago. Then Ryan Snyder on some recruiting at the end of the show. I think it's a good mix when it's all said and done. And on this show, as you know, there's a lot more said than done.
That's a good way to put it, buddy.
So let's go with Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Tony, opening half hour. We'll get you going here earlier today. Welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Oh, good to be with you. How is everybody?
Everybody's doing well. Have the Pirates taken a page out of the 2014 Kansas City Royals bullpen model?
Yeah, without question. And, you know, Neil Huntington frankly said as much last Sunday. He didn't really mention that yesterday, but last Sunday they talked about, he meets with the media usually before Sunday afternoon games when they're at home. And it's usually a pretty pleasant conversation. And if you look between the cracks, occasionally he can get a little bit revealing. And he flat out said on Sunday, it was no secret that they were looking for bullpen help, but he talked about the Kansas City Royals last year you know, dressing up that bullpen so that they essentially played six-inning games. That is, you know, again, essentially what the Pirates are trying to accomplish and may have accomplished. Last night, they did accomplish that, but not in the way they wanted to.
Right, exactly. Which then brings us to A.J. Burnett. A.J. Burnett has now had three consecutive starts where he's given up 10 hits or more. It is no surprise to anybody who knows A.J. Burnett's history that once the All-Star break comes and goes, so do his performances. It's just something. I don't care whether it's been with the Marlins, the Blue Jays, the Yankees, the Pirates, the Phillies. It has not mattered. For whatever reason, after the All-Star break, his effectiveness is not the same. Why?
Well, in A.J.'s defense, he was pretty strong down the stretch 2 years ago for the Pirates. He was excellent in September. He won a couple of games in Cincinnati where he went eight innings and gave up one run. He was very strong 2 years ago with Pittsburgh down the stretch. Looking at it this year, though, Steve, you know, to me, it's a concern for a number of reasons. One, because of what you just mentioned, you're seeing a potential, you know, repeated performances. And two, he's 38 years old now. And, you know, the fact that he's had a couple of rough starts shouldn't be that much of a concern in a regular situation. He was way over his head the first half. Baseball has a way of bringing you back down to earth and averaging things out. And if you'd have told people that heading into August, A.J. Burnett would have a 3.06 ERA, everybody would be thrilled. If you'd have said that in three starts it went up nearly a full run, well, that would be, you know, because that is what happened. It went up, I think, three-quarters of a run in three starts. And I think there's, you know, a lot of potential issues. One, you have to look at, you know, the simple fact that, like I said before, he's 38 years old, and guys that are 38 don't continue to pitch at a high level very often. The other thing, and I think the thing that was most concerning to me last night, was A.J. Burnett was throwing probably in the high 80s. I think he hit 90 a couple of times until things got a little bit tense. Billy Hamilton got on base. Stole second, stole third, ended up scoring on an error, and Burnett got ticked off. Mm-hmm. And then, and only then, did his velocity go up. And it didn't go up at, you know, one or two ticks. He was throwing 88. All of a sudden, now he's throwing 94, 95.
Right.
And that was consistent throughout the last two innings. Now, where that was, what was his approach coming into the game, I have no idea. But you don't see a guy throw 88, you know, and then all of a sudden, for two innings, he's thrown consistently at 93, 94. It isn't like he, you know, ratcheted it up a degree or two. So I don't know what his approach was going into last night, but to me, that might have been the most concerning thing. I don't know if they were trying to take things easy, if he's got an arm problem that he hasn't discussed. I think that opens, it's a lot of speculation, but what's happened the last three games opens him up to some speculation.
All right. This will be a difficult question to answer, but I'll throw it out anyway. The Pirates have a farm system which is highly touted and justifiably so. But it's not at a point where Alvarez isn't doing well and they can call somebody up.
Right.
It isn't at a point where they can call somebody up to replace Jordy Mercer. And it is not at a point where they can call up somebody to replace Josh Harrison. Right? That's three positions on the field. And it's not at any point where they can call up somebody to be a fourth outfielder. So, in other words, that's four prominent positions on the field where obviously – even they don't think they're good enough right now. Why no play for David Price? Because right now they're one starter shy of a load for the playoffs.
That's a great question. I don't have an answer to that. They were involved in conversations over the past two seasons, even in the off season with David Price. You didn't hear a peep about them being involved this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not as if they were dealing with the same team every one of those times either. You know, I mean, it isn't like,
right.
You know, the GMs got tired or felt that they couldn't work out a deal. We're talking about a couple different GMs involved here. So I think that's a very good question. And to be honest with you, what you just mentioned about the minor leagues should have put them in play for David Price, because they've got a lot of depth at a couple of specific positions at the low levels. The single A level, quite frankly, shortstop.
They
got some outs. Now they did deal with shortstop this trade deadline.
Yes,
but they
did.
Do have the depth there to make a move. And, you know, again, they'd be taking on a very small portion of a contract. So to me, that was definitely surprising. I thought that they at least could have been in play there, and you didn't hear a thing about it.
Okay, Steeler training camp off and rolling. What is the feel in Latrobe right now as they get closer to what will be the first preseason game against the Vikings on the 9th?
Haven't been in pads long enough to have a legitimate feel for anything, Steve, but that doesn't stop people from already having a feel. The big word yesterday was Bud Dupree's already a failure. Because he had a rough day off the edge. It was the first pass rushing drills in pads. Another linebacker, Anthony Chiquillo, who was drafted in the late rounds out of Miami, looked a little bit better than Dupree did. So that was sort of the big talk yesterday. I don't think there's any seriousness behind that, but he didn't win on his first day in pads. But that position, I think, is where most eyes are. I think everyone's looking at the linebacker position and, you know, what can Jarvis Jones do? It's time for him to step up and either be the player that they thought he could be or someone else is going to have to step in. And to some extent, the same question and the same burden lies on Ryan Shazier. He dealt with a couple different injuries last year that prevented him from doing that as a rookie, yeah. But that doesn't change the fact that he still needs to prove it. So I think all eyes are on the defense, especially the linebackers.
Tony, what's the general health of the team now after a week of camp?
You know, it's not too bad. I mean, Bruce Gradkowski right now, the backup quarterback, is still out for a few more days, but that's not really a problem. I think he'll be fine, and that gives him a chance to get some other arms involved in the mix. I think one of the, on the positive side of the health issue, Le'Veon Bell is coming along very nicely. And, after a day and a half in pads, D'Angelo Williams is still upright and healthy, so that's certainly a good sign. A couple other guys are dinged up. Marquise Pouncey is nursing an injury, and that's, again, something they're just not going to – he's not going to participate until he's fully ready to go. There's no really, questions about him. He doesn't have anything to prove. Sanquez Golden, Golson, the cornerback that they took out
Ole
of
Miss.
He has been banged up as well. He hasn't gotten on the field yet either. So I think that's probably the one guy that they're hoping can get on the field soon because he potentially, could make up some ground here. But every day he misses is just a day further back.
Tony, for those who have never been to training camp before, how much actual hitting do they do in these things?
Mike Tomlin it's kind of gone up and down. Last year was an extremely physical training camp. I think Tomlin came in sort of with something to prove last year. And that was very different from about 3 or 4 years prior to that where, the defense was set and the offense for the most part was set and they were dealing with veterans who were pushing 30. And he was sort of taking it easy on guys, I think. But it's kind of interesting because it seems like maybe a page has turned for Mike Tomlin. And it'll be interesting to watch these next couple of days. Yesterday was pretty physical. It'll be very interesting to watch this next week to 10 days and see if it continues in that direction. Last year was probably Tomlin's most physical camp. And again, that was in stark contrast to maybe 3 years prior.
And they had five preseason games, right?
Yes, they have an extra preseason game. And you're right. That could have a major impact on that. That is, you're absolutely right. That's something definitely worth mentioning. I'm sure they'll get after it in that first preseason game. But yeah, every coach will tell you four is way too many anyway, let alone five. And I guess what? There's always two teams to play five.
Right. Yeah. And it's going to be the Vikings and the Steelers. When you look at them at this particular stage, making the turn into August, okay, it's only a week, but still, what's to like?
What's to like?
Yeah.
I think the offense certainly is the top strength of this team. I think they've maybe tightened some things up along the offensive line. Their tackles are going to be important. The tackles looked good yesterday. They probably beat the defensive ends and the linebackers in those drills. But again, one day, those are just drills. So I think offensively, there's no question that that is a positive. They've got a lot of depth. They've got a lot of depth at tight end now, something that they didn't have before.
Right.
They've got a lot of depth along the offensive line. I think a pleasant surprise defensively is the defensive line. Cameron Hayward has taken a lot of steps forward, and this really could be. Last year was kind of a breakout year.
Mm-hmm.
This year, I think the expectations are maybe he takes it a step further, becomes a Pro Bowl-type player. He's really emerged as a leader on this team, not just on the field, but also in the locker room. And that's an interesting thing to watch because the page has been turned from a lot of those other veterans, most of whom were on the defensive side of the ball, the Aaron Smiths, the James Ferriers, the Casey Hamptons, Paul Amalu, Ike Taylor. You can go on and on. None of those guys are here. So they need people like Cameron Hayward to step up, and it looks like he has so far.
And finally, Tony, for fans here, how much watching does Jesse James bear?
Oh, I think he does a lot of watching. I think, you know, he's a guy who can make strides, certainly before camp starts. If I were to ask to list some guys on the hot seat, one of the guys I would mention would be Matt Space, right, the backup tight end to Heath Miller. I don't think you're going to see Jesse James breaking into that lineup and playing a ton of snaps in the first game of the season. But I tell you what, by October, mid-October, as we push toward Halloween, I think you really could see things start to change as far as the tight ends go. Matt Space isn't going to get cut, but Jesse James, I think, has a chance to really step forward here, and this is obviously a great opportunity for him.
As always, Tony, thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
You do the same. Thanks, Steve.
Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Next half hour, James Franklin's Big Ten press conference from Chicago as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. Stock up for the weekend now. Did I mention beer? Lots and lots of beer. Soft drinks, water, snacks. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. The bags are right there at the register. And the pickle bar, tremendous. What a selection. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up tonight. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Thanks to Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh sports reporter, who joined us in the opening half hour. James Franklin in a few moments, his press conference from this morning. Then Corey Geiger joins us from Chicago. Altoona Mirror in the next half hour, final half hour, Ryan Snyder on recruiting Blue White Illustrated. Early today, in fact, he was the last coach up today, the last coach up of all 14 coaches, Penn State's James Franklin, discussing his Nittany Lions, the Big Ten, in the upcoming season.
You know, you think about the story that's being told about our institution and the Big Ten as a whole this year compared to last year. It couldn't be more dramatically different. So many positive things falling into place for us right now. At Penn State, being able to get the scholarships back, you know, having an opportunity to go to bowl games, the way recruiting is going, the way we played in the bowl, and the way the season ended. Just so many positive things falling into place right now. Really happy for our kids and our program. We're coming into this season with nothing floating over our head. You know, they have the ability to be able to chase their dreams at the very, very highest level. So really, really excited. Finishing up summer school right now. We're getting to that point of the year where everybody's kind of got the itch and ready to get going. The funny thing is we're trying to get our guys to be as present as they possibly can be, because they'll be telling us the same thing 2 weeks from now, that they're ready to stop hitting each other and play another opponent. So, you know, really excited about the opportunities. We have a two deep at every position now that's available to play in games. Some positions three deep, which I know sounds crazy, but the way we're going to be able to practice, the way we're going to be able to develop, it's going to have a major impact on everything. So excited about the opportunity and open up to questions.
If you have a question, please raise your hand. We'll get the microphone right over to you.
We'll all start right, guys. Here. Thanks for
yeah, somebody's got to be first. We'll start here on our left.
James, going into this season, the many questions about the offensive line, where do you think it's at right now? How does Kevin Rayner play into all that?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously offensive line is going to be a big storyline going into the season. You know, we're just in a different position. I think we've made great progress. We still have a lot of progress that still has to take place. You know, last year we came into the season with one returning starter. This year we're coming into the season with four returning starters. We went out and signed the number one junior college offensive tackle in the country, and he was able to get on campus in December, which was really, really valuable. We were able to get a grad school transfer in Kevin Reiner, and we're excited about his opportunity as a center to be able to compete for that job. So, you know, I think our depth is just different. Last year, you know, our left tackle would go down. We'd move our right tackle to left tackle. Our center would go to right tackle, and the backup center would come in. You know, hopefully we'll be in a position this year where if we do have some bumps and bruises, the backup could slide in, and it's just interchanging one spot. You know, all those offensive linemen that we recruited last year, they all redshirted. So now they are available. They're all freshmen. You know, at this point last year, we were the second youngest team in college football. I haven't seen any studies at where we're at this year, but we're still really young. I think we're going to make progress. I'm excited to see how much progress we've made in camp once the pads come off.
The next question, Coach, will come down here on our left.
Hey, Coach. Teddy Greenstein, Chicago Tribune.
Hey, Teddy.
I think we're all curious about Hackenberg, what kind of progress he's made, and what do you make of it? It seems like the NFL scouts still hold him in really high regard. What are your thoughts on that for the season ahead?
Yeah, you know, Hack's had a great summer and really spring. He was on the kind of the quarterback circuit. You know, did some things this summer and had some unique experiences, which were awesome as well. You know, but to me, the storyline is the same as it was last year. You know, I told everybody, you know, our concern wasn't with Christian Hackenberg. It was all the pieces of the puzzle around Christian. Like I said, we had one returning starter on the offensive line last year. This year, four. Three of our four receivers last year were freshmen. We lost Adam Brenneman, you know, a tight end who we were expecting big things out of before the season started. And all those guys are back and with more experience. So I'm excited that Christian's going to be able to continue his development. You know, keep him upright, allow him, you know, to deliver the ball to the playmakers now. And then also the impact of a running game. You know, we weren't able to consistently run the ball last year as well. So all those things are going to be really, really important. All those other things and the other point you brought up, you know, I'm focused on Penn State and I'm focused on Temple, our opening season game. I'm excited about Christian's opportunities and what he's going to do this year.
Coach, our next question will come from right down here in front. Go ahead.
Coach, speaking of the running game, what do you have to say about Akil Lynch coming into a full-time starter role and your redshirts that are now coming into being potentially backups and competing for a role?
Yeah, you know, Akil's had a great summer. You look at how productive he was last year in a limited role, and as the season went on, that grew. He's a mature guy. He's big, strong, fast, physical, very, very intelligent. He's doing it the right way. He really is. You know, if you've read some articles about Akil and his upbringing and his mom has had an unbelievable impact on him and done an unbelievable job in raising, you know, quality young man. So I'm excited for his future and what he's going to be able to do this year. He's obviously also going to be impacted by the offensive line and the tight ends, the experience that we have there now. Also excited, you know, we had three guys that we redshirted last year behind him, and those guys are ready to go. They're bigger, they're faster, they're stronger, they're more mature. And then we also have, you know, two highly touted true freshmen coming in as well. So, you know, I think you have Akil, who's obviously more of an established guy. And then you got a bunch of young guys that have never touched a ball in a game before. So that's going to be interesting to see that battle and who's going to be in the rotation. You know, typically at this level, whether it's the NFL or major college football like the Big Ten, you're going to need three backs. You know, you're going to need three backs. So figuring out who those other two backs are going to be, you know, is going to be really important for us.
Coach, will stay on the side of the room just in front.
Hi, Jay. It's Bill Rabinowitz from the Columbus Dispatch.
Hi, Bill.
You've coached in the SEC. Now you're in the Big Ten East. How energized are you to coach against some of the coaches and programs, Urban Meyer at Ohio State, Michigan State and D'Antonio, now Harbaugh with Michigan? How energizing is that for you?
I think it's great. I mean, you know, that's why you come to the Big Ten. That's why you come to Penn State. You know, it's exciting that we're able to go to high schools and go to recruits and say you have an opportunity to get a world-class education and play against the very best, which is what everybody wants to do. Big-time football, big-time academics, tremendous support. I think it's great. I think it's great for our conference. Like I said in the beginning, I mean, you think about, you know, the stories and the narrative that was being told a year ago compared to now, it's a 180-degree switch. So I think that's exciting. I think it's exciting the fact that our players are going to be able to compete against some of the top players in the country. Our coaches are going to be able to compete against the top coaches. We're going to be able to go into great environments and play big-time college football. So we've embraced it, and we're excited about it. It's all about competing in everything you do, in the classroom and on the football field.
Coach, our next question will be in the back of the room on the left aisle.
Can't hear you.
James, can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Cool. Gus Malzahn at SEC Media Day said the SEC is at a disadvantage because they beat up on each other all year and they're worn down by the time they get to the college football playoff. Having coached in both leagues, what's your response to that?
Well, you know, I think there's some valid points. I think you could make the same argument that in the Big Ten we play 9 conference games and do not play FCS programs. And, you know, the Big Ten scheduling model is taking care of strength of schedule for us. But I think it's an interesting argument. Eight games, you know, in the SEC and playing FCS, or 9 games in the Big Ten and not playing FCS. You know, I have tremendous respect for the SEC, but I also got tremendous respect for the Big Ten. And I think you could make an argument that, we're going through a similar situation.
Our next question, Coach, will come from our right over on the end toward the middle.
Coach, does your program consider either Maryland or Rutgers to be a rival right now, given where all three programs are recruiting?
We have tremendous respect for the entire conference. I think the addition of Maryland and Rutgers have been awesome. Got tremendous respect for their programs, their universities, their head football coaches, and Coach Flood and Coach Edsel. But we kind of approach it one game at a time. If you look at Penn State historically, we have not really had a true rival per se in the Big Ten. We're just focused on Penn State and building this program back to where everybody wants it to be.
Floor is open right now. We do have time for a couple more questions. Please raise your hand and we'll get the microphone right to you. Coach, our next question will be here on the right side of the room, toward the middle.
James, you talked a little bit about guys coming off of redshirt years. Which one of those guys or two of those guys are you most excited to see in camp here next week?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. You know, I try not to, you know, point out specific guys. Because what happens then, I walk off the stage and I'm upset with myself that I missed, you know, someone I should have mentioned. You know, I would say probably as a group, the offensive line, just because the value that they're going to bring in the way we're going to be able to practice and also the way we're going to be able to play, I think is going to have as big of an impact as anything. You look. We had 65 or just under 65 scholarship players last year. We played at the end of the year against, I think, Ohio State with 45 scholarship players and Michigan State, I think, with like 41 scholarship players, available at game time. So to have those guys in practice and be able to get the reps, I think that's what people sometimes overlook. They think about the game, and the game is important, but it's also preparing your guys and getting enough reps in practice, so it has a trickle down effect to everybody. If your second team offensive line cannot block your second team defensive line, you can't develop the backup quarterback, you can't develop the wide receivers, you can't develop the corners. When you have to reduce practice reps to keep people healthy, it just has an effect. And you're talking about that effect over 3 years. So, you know, being able to go back to more of a traditional model in the way we're going to practice. And I'm not talking about the banging. It's not necessarily about the banging. It's just about the reps. We talk about mental reps and the importance of mental reps and how much you can get out of it. But, You know, there's nothing like experience. So standing and watching is one thing. Being out on the field and actually doing it in practice and in games and building up that muscle memory, as well as the fundamentals and techniques and footworks necessary to be successful, is critical. And we're a program that believes in the player development, mentally, physically, emotionally, and then also in recruiting as well. So we're excited about where we're going.
Next question, Coach, is down here in front on the left.
Hey, Coach.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Awesome.
I was wondering if the offensive line, with all the scrutiny that they've faced, do you think they're playing with a bit of a chip? Have any bulletin board material up in the locker room?
Yeah, I do. I think so. I think going through it is never fun, but I do think that they will be better because of that experience. I also feel that way about Christian Hackenberg. I think the mental and physical toughness that he showed last year in the long run is really going to help him. So, yeah, I think our offensive line has a chip on their shoulder. I think they've worked like that all off season. So, I would really appreciate if any of you guys are willing to write some nasty article about them to continue to motivate them to push them throughout the season.
We'll go over here on our left, Coach, in the middle.
Hey, James. Joe Giuliano, Philadelphia Inquirer.
Hey, Joe.
How you doing?
Awesome.
Last year, Christian tended to get frustrated in certain games, maybe because of the inexperience or whatever, and I know you said we made a little too much of it, but how important is it for him to maintain his cool and composure this season as a leader of the offense?
Yeah, I think it's a fine line. I definitely want him to be calm, cool, and collected as much as he possibly can. But I also think there's times that he needs to show emotion. I think guys have got to stay true to who they are. And I think, Christian was in a unique situation last year. You're talking about a true sophomore, 19 years old, that basically the entire offense was on his shoulders. What I want Christian to do is I want Christian to have fun. I want him to enjoy himself, and I want him to be true to who he is. If he feels like the thing that's going to help him and our team be most successful is be calm, cool, and collected, I want him to be calm, cool, and collected. If there's a time where he feels like he needs to get emotional and get after people, I'm fine with that as well. And I think he's getting to the point now as a junior where he's figuring all those things out and what's appropriate at the right time. But, this is a tough game played by emotional people, and those things are going to happen from time to time.
Okay, thank you very much, Coach.
Thank you very much, guys.
That's James Franklin. Earlier today at McCormick Place in Chicago at Big Ten Media Day. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The record will be broken. That's right. The 100-year record is going to be broken this month if Sunbury Motors sells 80 new Fords by July 31st. SMC is where you want to be if you want a new Focus for $16,863. SMC is where you want to be if you want a new Ford Escape for $19,993. SMC is where you want to be if you want a new F-150 4x4 for under 30 grand. Sunbury Motors isn't taking this record lightly. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, you owe it to yourself to go to Sunbury Motors before August 1st. If you want 0% on your next 2015 Focus, Fusion, Escape, Explorer, or Expedition, SMC is where you want to be. Sunbury Motors will sell 80 new Fords by July 31st. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. SMC is where you want to be to save more money on your next new Ford.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
More on Big Ten Media Day coming up in the next hour. Corey Geiger will join us from Chicago. Corey with the Altoona Mirror. We'll talk about James Franklin, but also about the press conference Sandy Barber had today on scheduling. We'll talk with Corey about that in the next half hour. Ryan Snyder, Blue White Illustrated, final half hour. The question of a rival came up and about Maryland, about Rutgers. And there's no question proximity, some of the same players, not all, but some of the same players are recruited, plays into it. Obviously, Penn State won at Rutgers last year. Maryland won at Penn State. But at the same time, rivalries are different. Penn State does not have that singular rivalry like the days of Pitt, like Auburn, Alabama, Texas A&M, Ohio State, Michigan, even Stanford, Cal. They don't have that anymore. You have rivals in different ways. For example, yes, there's proximity of trying to beat Maryland and Rutgers are in the same division, plus there's geography. All right. But there's also the rivalry of now trying to clear the hurdle of Michigan State. There's also the rivalry of clearing the hurdle of Ohio State. Conversely, you know, they also look at Penn State as a rival because that's a team they've got to hold off. Michigan State, though, for example, their biggest rival is Michigan. Yet Michigan doesn't consider Michigan State their biggest rival. And look at the offseason Michigan State had. Michigan State had a great season 2 years ago, won the Rose Bowl, had a really good season last year, won 11 games, and in the end beat Baylor in the Cotton Bowl. Yet in their state, they received very little publicity during this offseason because Michigan took it all with Jim Harbaugh. They sucked all the air out of the room for Michigan State. Thus, they have a real chip on their shoulder for the upcoming season. In fact, they literally have T-shirts to work out in that have a chip put on the left shoulder as they practice with a chip on their shoulder. So you always have teams that are in a precarious rivalry position. But it does come down to the fact that you're trying to win your conference no matter what, because that is now the path to bigger bowls. It's also the path to getting into the college football playoff. That's where the path is. That's why when you play this year 8 conference games and 9 next year, those literally are all rivalries. Now, does it meet to the standard of Ohio State, Michigan? No, it doesn't. But it's also the biggest game on your schedule every week, whomever you're playing. When you play Rutgers, Indiana, Maryland, Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State, and this year the 2 crossover games, Northwestern, Illinois. As for scheduling Pitt, that conversation is in the next half hour with Corey Geiger from the Altoona Mirror. Check out the Steve Jones Show podcast to catch up on any of the interviews you may have missed along the way or the press conference with James Franklin today. Top of the hour news. We're brought to you today by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK.